everybody. Welcome back to this week's Good Work Show. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah, really good. I wasn't ready, but I'm ready now. I'm here. I'm focused.
What?
I was doing something and then I heard it's recording and I'm like, I should tune in. But yeah, this is going to be a great episode. I think the topic is so timely and the organization at Adaham Theater is doing such fantastic work in this space that I'm really looking forward to this conversation and see what they've been up to. So many organizations, it's very interesting to see how they had to pivot in COVID, because with them, so much of their focus with some of their events, you know, from the last time we talked to them, is that interaction. It's like, that's, you know, the foundation of what they do. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they pivot and how they've been able to thrive and expand in this time. Mm-hmm. Not the topic. I mean, the subject matter is very relevant. It's just, how do you do it?
Yeah. Yep. So for those of you who don't know, they put on, they hire playwrights and actors to go through and do very short plays, but around experiences that have to do with racism, with sexism, with social justice issues, all kinds of things. And so we had them on about 2 years ago and talked about the work that they were doing. But yeah, to your point, just catching up with them and while they've been in the pandemic, while we're still in the pandemic, seeing how they've reacted to that and then what else they have coming up, because I'm pretty sure they were busy. And I've seen things that they have been doing in the community. So it's actually great that we'll be catching up with them. And then we want you to stick around to the end, though. I think this is one of those times where if you even know about the organization, it's great to stick around to the end of this to figure out how you can get involved, because they always have multiple ways you can do that. But, you know, if you were ever thinking of, I don't know what to do, and I'm tired of seeing things in the community that are happening this way, or I want to make a change, I don't know what to do, we're going to ask them to give you some simple steps about how you can plug in. And so I think this will be a great opportunity for those of you who were looking for ideas and just didn't know where to turn, didn't know what to do, and really actionable things that will make a difference in your life, but also someone else's. So look forward to that interview.
Yeah, it should be good. And I'm going to wrap up my vacation.
All right.
Well, so this we always have great guests, but this was worth interrupting vacation. I get to talk to Elaine, so there's that.
You probably get to talk to me anytime anyway, though.
I feel like it's been a long time. We have to stay connected. It really hasn't.
I was like, hold on, you've been on vacation, but did you call me yesterday for something?
I did. Never mind.
Maybe you haven't seen me. That's what it was.
Maybe that's what it is. I haven't seen you.
Not even on Zoom. Like, we haven't been. Like, that's the part that, yeah. So, yeah, catching up.
So there's,
it's a catch-up day with everybody. Catching up with everybody today.
That's true.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, enjoy this conversation. We'll keep this short because I feel like we're going to go long on the other end. So enjoy the conversation. And, that's all I got.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We are excited because we've got Out of Hand Theater on the show today, and you're going to be really, really impressed about what this organization does, and I hope that you take advantage of participating in some way of some of the things that they have going on. But please welcome to the show Adria Kitchens and Ariel Fristo. So how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. How are you all?
Great, great. How are you, Ariel?
I'm good. We're just so excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to catch up with you. So we like to like lay the groundwork first, but you all have been on the show before. It's been a little while. So we love catching up with our nonprofits that we haven't talked to in a while because things change. They've got new events going. And then for those folks who are new to us, they get a chance to hear about you for the first time and discover all the great things that you're doing. So give us a little background. Tell us about what Out of Hand Theater is, what you do, and a little bit about your mission.
Would you like me to start, Adrienne?
I'll let Arielle start, yes.
Okay. So we are not your regular theater company. To begin with, our mission is to work at the intersection of art, social justice, and community engagement. So we don't operate like a traditional theater venue. We hardly ever do kind of regular full-length plays. And instead, what we do is we design events that combine art to open people's hearts, information to open minds, and conversation to process emotions and information and make a plan for action. I started Out of Hand in 2001, and I've had the immense pleasure of working with Adria for the past few years.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Yes.
And, you know, the topic areas that you focus on have always been important. But I would imagine that in the last 18 months or so, that you have seen an uptick in people being interested in what you're talking about in the very unique way that you bring these conversations and encourage conversations about these topics. So talk to us a little bit about, because I'm really interested to know how you decided to get started and focus on these topic areas, and then how has it developed, and then I assume really taken off in the last year or so as more of us are having conversations that we should have been having with you since 2001?
That's a great question. I'll start, and I'm sure Arielle will jump in, because so one of our programs, right, is Equitable Dinners, which I think is probably what you're more referring to. And of course, we started as a live event, right? back in 2019 as a part of Decatur Dinners. And of course, in the last 18 months since the pandemic has started, and I think all that we have seen nationally and internationally that's happening, especially in response to the murder of George Floyd, just seeing that response happen. And with COVID, right, seeing the disparate effects on Black people and other people of color has definitely drawn people to the conversation. And of course, we have a design team and we work together, and really we work in response in many times to what's happening, right? We obviously know that there are things we wanna talk about as it regards race equity, as it regards anti-racism. And we also recognize that we need to acknowledge what's happening in the current climate. And so that's what we've made an attempt to do in everything that we do, like keep this broad perspective of, we know that we need to share this information with people and also allow what's happening in our current climate to be a part of what we're talking about. And so when we launched Equitable Dinners, the plan originally was to, in September 2020, have 500 dinners in the city of Atlanta with 5,000 people. And now that is on the calendars. We are planning for it for September 2022. I think what all of us wanted to do was, when we went virtual, when we recognized we weren't going to be able to get together, was to look for a way we could keep the conversation going and keep people connected, because we felt like the topics were that important and that we didn't want to lose people. Like, we didn't want to lose the conversation, because obviously we have to focus on COVID and life still is, happening with COVID. All of these things are happening to people, and we need to find a place for people to connect and respond. And so that's when we launched into the virtual series. That really was like the underlying foundation of that, to give people a space and a place to continue to connect, to share with them what, like really the truth of what's happening, like the legacy and effect of racism, how systemic racism still exists, right? So that they recognize, okay, this wasn't just our history, this is currently happening. And, you know, when we see things in the news, when we see Black men or Black women being killed on camera, we need a place for people to really start to process, hey, this is what's happening. And we need them to be able to come together because they don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do. It seems like overwhelming. And so what we really want to do is give people a space where they can not only process, where people who wouldn't have that experience, right? Like, normally people who identify as white aren't going to have that same experience. We need them to know this is happening and be able to hear it from someone's story so that they can be touched in their hearts. And hopefully open their eyes to what's really happening and then give them the tool, some of the tools they need to say, oh, I can take an action, because it can seem overwhelming thinking you have to dismantle an entire system, which is, yes, we want to dismantle systemic racism and we can do that together one person at a time, right? Like if I can just take an action, whether it's even if it's reading a book, watching a TED talk I wasn't thinking about listening to until now, you know, watching a documentary, all those are all of the things that can really support us in starting to shift our thinking so that when those people are making the decisions, are creating the policies, are, you know, creating the cultures in their businesses and their organizations, that they will make different decisions. Because that's what we really want, right? We want them to make different decisions and recognize, as Dr. Kamara Jones always says, like really look at like, how is racism operating here? Is if I can look and see how it's operating here, then I can say, oh, well, maybe I need to shift that. Not just maybe, but I do need to shift that and make a change and look for ways to make the change, right? And so hopefully we're giving people resources and tools so that they actually know how to make the change. And I've said a lot, so I'll let Arielle jump in.
It's all good. All good stuff.
So Decatur Dinners was the first project that Adria and I worked on together. We started working on it in 2018 and it happened in 2019. And our goal was to get 1,000 strangers to have facilitated conversations about racial equity over potluck dinners in strangers' homes on the same night. And to send a facilitator into every home and to have every conversation be launched by the live performance of a short play about the experience of being Black in America. So we get to hire 80 professional Black actors, men and women, and send them into these homes and churches and restaurants all over Decatur on the same night. And then they were all performing these words at the same time. And I wasn't sure if we could get 1,000 people to do this, but what happened is we had hundreds of people on the waiting list. Decatur got so excited about this, we managed to serve 1,200 people that night and hundreds more over the weeks and a couple months that followed. And there were still people on the waiting list. So that was how we decided, okay, we need to keep going. Let's formalize this. Let's call it Equitable Dinners. Let's do it next for Atlanta. Atlanta's a lot bigger than Decatur. So that's why we were thinking to make an impact in Atlanta, we need to get 5,000 people to have this conversation. We can't do that all in one night, but we can do it all in 1 month. So 4 Sunday evenings over the course of a month. And we will still do that. But we also have this incredible team of partners, and that's, we really rely on our, you know, we're an arts organization. We can't do this all on our own. We really rely on our partners for the expertise and for the links to the community. So our main Equitable Dinners partners are the King Center, the Center for Civil and Human Rights, and Partnership for Southern Equity. And then we have a bunch of other great partners as well. And right after the shutdown, they gathered on Zoom like we are today last March and said, okay, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Well, we're not going to wait. Let's go online. And because we're online, let's make it a monthly series and let's address a different topic related to racial justice every month. And let's and because we're online, let's get big name guest speakers to come in to talk about these things, which obviously you couldn't send those into people's homes. And let's hire a new Atlanta-based playwright every single month and pair them with the speaker and have them write a play specifically to put a human face and story on what that speaker is going to say that month about housing or healthcare or education or policing or immigration or, we've 12 subjects we've done so far. And then, And then it just blew up kind of beyond our wildest dreams. And we've got people now coming from 12 countries and 40 states and 90 cities and towns just here in Georgia. And as an arts organization, you know, what we do is really strange. So we don't expect to get much recognition for the art part of it. And instead what happened is we were named to the New York Times Best Theater of 2020. The wow. only time Georgia has ever been on that list, and we're on it for 2020.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So there's a lot going on here. I love that you all have not only pivoted, but you took it to a whole nother level in terms of what you're doing and the impact of what you're doing. So what's next? What do we have going on? Obviously there's opportunities for people to come in if they're wanting to host a dinner, right? So there's still opportunities to do that. But then you also have, and I love the part that you mentioned where you were able to hire actors and bring in playwrights, and really you're giving not only a voice to, you know, the Black experience or what people are experiencing and reactions to it, but you're also creating a little bit of workforce development too, and helping put people to work and connecting them to platforms where they can share and they can grow. And so tell us about more of that and what you all have going in the future and how people can get involved in that, because I think that's a really important part of what you're doing. You're not just, you know, you just don't just have this company of folks that you're kind of recycling through, but now you've got new artists who can be again on a bigger stage and a larger stage based off of what you all are able to do.
Yeah, you know, what I find interesting is that, you know, like Equitable Dinners is just one thing. Yeah. One of the projects we have, right, where we were able to do that. And we also get to hire, Black artists and Black playwrights and our other things. And just to, you know, if we just focus on Equitable Dinners, like what's coming up in 2022 is this opportunity to be able to host a dinner live. That we'll launch live dinners starting in February of 2022. So we definitely need hosts for that. We need facilitators for that. And a part of being a facilitator is to come to a dinner, come to a training, and then you are allowed to facilitate one of our small groups at the dinners. So there's plenty of opportunity for that. And then people can get involved and come to the dinners every month. They're every third Sunday online right now. And we also have virtual hosts, and we have people who call. We try to call every person who registers for our online dinners and every person who registers for our live dinners, so that we can, you know, just connect with them, because it really is, you know, if we think about systemic racism and racism itself just being this separation of people, right? The way you disrupt that is to connect people. So that's what we're really trying to do. Like, how do we get people connected? And so there, a number of opportunities to do that. We also this year, or last year actually, launched an Institute for Equity Activism, and we just had our second cohort, ended in April. And that in that program, we are supporting community leaders and community members and really knowing how to use the arts as a social justice activator, right? Like how to really take it build a coalition, which I think Arielle is amazing at coalition building and collaboration. Like that is her gift. And so being able to support people to know, like, who do you need on your team? Who should be the partnerships? What does that look like? And how do you set that up for success, right? Because I think a lot of people do it, and yet the way there are certain ways you can set it up for success so that you can really have an impact. Because one of the things we do know is that we can't do this alone. Like, we have to do this with other people. And so I see our opportunity is giving people the tools they need to be able to collaborate fully and well, and that's even in Equitable Dinners, right? Give them all those tools so that we can dismantle all the isms, and we can remove them from our language, right? So that it can be history. So that it truly can, you know, be a, you know, a narrative that we tell of what used to be, and this is what is now. Arielle, did you want to add to that? I'm sure I missed something.
Yeah, well, just to say that, unfortunately, you just missed our June dinner, which was a program on Black men's mental health. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in 2020, we really focused on the Black experience I think that was really the most important thing that probably that anyone talked about besides COVID itself in 2020 in this country. But in 2021, we are reaching out to other communities of color as well. And our upcoming July, so it's the third Sunday of every month, as Adria said, at 5 o'clock, you can sign up at equitabledinners.com. July's topic is immigration through a South American perspective. And then August is a program about citizenship from an Asian perspective. And we're gonna have a program that has a Native American perspective in November. So we're really looking at a lot of different issues in many different communities of color. But back to the workforce development, I just wanted to add that, you know, we've just been tallying up our numbers from last year. And we realized that we were able to pay around $200,000 to artists and conversation facilitators in 2020, just in the calendar year, when we were basically, you know, so many arts organizations were basically closed the whole year and everybody was so scared. So for us, that was just a huge privilege to be able to pay artists and hire them to do their work.
That's great. I mean, that's an impact statement in and of itself, just with that. So obviously that takes resources, that takes money, that takes people, volunteers. How can people get involved? I mean, I know there are many, many ways that they can participate, but give us a rundown of how people can continue to support this, because we want to make sure that this keeps going, right? You got content that's already planned out all the way through the fall and beyond. And so we want to make sure it's as successful, but the conversations don't wane too, right? So if things, if we stop seeing, people who are murdered in front of us or in front of our eyes, that doesn't mean the issues are going away. That just means that they aren't front and center, but maybe they're experiencing it in a different way. So tell us how we can inform folks about how they can continue to support you and support your work.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think there is a way in which we tend to forget, like, because we don't see things in our faces, that none, and it's as if we make this conclusion, oh, nothing's happening. And, that's the silence of systemic racism, right? It's happening all the time, but it's just not, you can't see it like with the naked eyes, for lack of a better way of saying that. Mm-hmm. So I think some of the best ways to get involved are, just to actually come to the dinners. Also, we have an anti-racism 24/7 book club. So we launched an initiative called Anti-Racism 24/7, which is like living anti-racism out loud. And what that really is about is giving people tools and things that they can do every day to start shifting their way of seeing things, because we are about culture shift, right? Like, we want to shift. And the only way to shift the culture is to shift the person. And so they can get involved in that, and they can find that on our website at either on the outofhandtheater.com or equitabledinners.com. They can find out more about that. We launched our book club. We are reading James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time. We still have another section of the book to go, so they're not too late. They can join us on that, and they can also find that on the website. And I would say that's a great place to get involved, like read a book and come with us and discuss it. And then we will be launching, if they join us and sign up, we will be launching a series of actions. Every week they will get something new to do. And so that it takes them not just doing something and just reading a book and doing nothing, but helping them process what they're learning, what they're watching, and also helping them to go take an action like after that. So that's a big part. So you can, those are a lot of the other ways to get involved and to do something different, because that for us would be the big thing. And coming to the dinners and inviting other people, because we want to spread the word. Like, we would love to have 500 people every month at our dinner. So that would be great, online and live. We would figure it out. We're a small organization, but we would figure it out how to support all those people. So if people are that excited about it, I would hope that they would share it with other people. And of course, the ways I said earlier, if they want to if they want to support us and volunteer, they can help us call, because we have people who make outreach calls. We are actually gearing up, obviously, for our live dinners, and we need to make outreach calls all over the city of Atlanta to different organizations, to churches, businesses, and we need to get them excited about coming to our dinners, and hopefully they will host a dinner. So we need volunteers in that direction too. Arielle, did I miss anything?
Yeah, well, I just want to reiterate what Adria said about just coming, just attending, being a form of volunteerism. So Hands on Atlanta is another one of our partners. And when we spoke with Jay Cranman, the executive director of Hands on Atlanta, what he said kind of surprised me, which was he said, you know, I think of civic engagement being one of the most valuable volunteer activities that people can do. And so don't think that you have to sign up to make phone calls or be a table host. Just coming and participating in this conversation about this issue that's so important to our community with strangers is like a very valuable form of civic engagement and of volunteerism. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, if anybody wants to sponsor a virtual table, we have those opportunities available. If you'd like to make a donation, we definitely have those opportunities at outofhandtheater.com. And last but not least, so this amazing thing happened. We were calling schools and businesses so Equitable Dinners is a free program. It's free to come, whether it's in person or online. And that's very important to us. And we were calling businesses and schools just to say, hey, can we tell you about this program? Could you put it in a newsletter or like invite your colleagues to come? And what happened is people started coming back to us and saying, can we hire you to do one just for us, just for our school or just for our business during the workday? And we were like, yeah, sure. So Equitable Dinners at Work was born, and we now have this amazing client list that includes BlackRock and Bain and Coca-Cola and Emory and Corporate Volunteer Council of Atlanta, United Way. And so if you're interested in finding out how you can bring Equitable Dinners to you, to your school or to your business, that is something that we now do and that we love to do.
I'm so mentioning that part because I was thinking about it, and I'm glad. I'm like, I hope they talk about that. That's really great. The other thing I will say that just strikes me about your whole program is that you, so often I feel like we've heard people have these conversations and they're like, I don't know what to do. But then when they ask, depending on who they ask, the person says, as the oppressed person, it's not my job to tell you. So then you kind of have that tension. And I do like that you guys are offering this opportunity where you're giving folks an opportunity to share their experiences and then not have to put the onus on them to teach, but then also giving a safe space for people to learn and have conversations. So I do thank you and applaud y'all for that. And thanks for coming back with us again. This has been fantastic.
Well, thank you for having us. And I love that you said that, because that is the opportunity. When they come to the dinners, they do have so it's a safe space. And we always like to say, it's not a safe space for you to avoid feelings. It's actually a safe space for you to connect with really uncomfortable feelings, right? When you hear things you didn't know were happening and they really bother you or they come up. So, that's really what we wanted to do, to create that kind of space so that we could provide that for people and not put the onus on someone to have to tell this really compelling, horrible story. They can hear it in a play. They can hear it from a playwright. So it's a really beautiful way in which to do that.
Yeah. Well, Adria and Ariel, thank you so much for catching us up on everything that Out of Hand Theater is doing. Make sure you all check out their website, participate in a dinner. It's one of the easiest things you can do. Check out their book club, which I think is a really interesting idea as well, so that you can get involved in that. And then plug in any other way you can. Tell somebody else about it. If you can't go to an event, please share it with your family members or friends. But I guarantee you there's a way that you can do that. Get your DEI officers involved and have them come to your workplace and do something. But there's so many ways that you can plug in and help out with this. And again, congratulations to you all for being one of the best, we're going to just say the best theater company, you know, there is. I mean, this is on this show. No one's going to really, you know, they can't cut us off for saying it. So we're going to say that. And we're going to give you the award for 2021 too, even though you won it in 2020, we're going to give you for this year as well. Cause we think it's going to be that great, but thank you so much for catching up with us on the show. We really appreciate it. And again, just stay strong. We love the work that you're doing. So continue to do that. And this world will get there one day.
Thank you.
Thank you.